Good afternoon. This is Adrian signing in with Food for Thought on Siouxland Public Media. Today I'm sitting down with Nisa Salmon, with Hardline Coffee Company. She is opening up a shop downtown Sioux City, and we're very excited to have her on the program.
Thank you, Adrian.
Okay, so Nisa, tell us about your new shop and what that means in that space.
Well, we've opened a new shop on 5th Street near Jackson Street Brewing, and we are a new coffee company in Sioux City. We're a combination cafe and roastery, so we currently offer coffee beverages, and we were going to start offering whole bean coffee as well.
Oh, very cool. So offering whole bean coffee, you guys are roasting on site.
Yes, right? We are.
Okay. Talk a little bit about that process of roasting on site.
It's been a lot of fun. So as far as I know, we're the first cafe and roastery combination in Sioux City. It was a little bit of a daunting process in the beginning because I am not as experienced of a coffee roaster as many that I've worked with. And I took a lot of advice from people in the area, local coffee shops that have been roasting in Sioux Falls, Omaha, Des Moines. And they all make it sound so easy. And it really, once you get into it, it is pretty comfortable to do. But it is kind of like a science. It's much like baking. And it, you know, depends a lot on your temperature, the speed of your drum, the airflow in your roaster. And kind of playing around with all those things enables you to develop different roasting profiles and make your coffee taste a little different. Mm. It's a lot of fun.
So you've leaned on, you said, some individuals in different cities. Where did you source your roaster?
So we actually got our roaster from Amateur Coffee in Omaha. They're a little vegan parlor that's been roasting for about 6 years and serving for just about 1 year.
Okay, cool. So how much coffee can you roast on one batch?
So I have a 1K roaster, which is the smallest size you can get pretty much, unless you get a sample roaster. So I can do about 2.5 pounds per batch of coffee.
Okay. So, and then how long does each batch take to roast?
It only takes about 10 minutes to roast a batch, so it's pretty quick, and it's really efficient when you want to try to profile a coffee and do a small batch of it just to sample.
Okay. Well, very cool. So you'll start bagging that soon and selling that retail in the store, probably also looking for some other customers to sell to throughout Siouxland.
Absolutely. So we're going to do retail and wholesale. We've got some people inquiring from especially local offices, which is exciting because it's really great to hear that people are interested in sampling new origins of coffee.
Yeah.
And moving beyond the wall of Folgers.
Yeah, for sure. So talk about vegan coffee. So again, I'm talking with Nisa from Hardline Coffee, and you're located currently right down next to Jackson Street Brewery.
Yes.
Which is not actually on Jackson Street.
Believe it or not, it's on 5th Street.
Right, it's on 5th Street. So, and give your address real quick.
I am at 611 5th Street.
611 5th Street. So just two doors down or one door down?
Two doors down.
Two doors down from Jackson Street. Many of our listeners will know where Jackson Street is. okay, so talk about vegan coffee, and what does that mean to you?
So vegan coffee, I mean, pretty much any bean of coffee is going to be vegan. But what it comes down to is what you put in it. So many of our purists will just drink straight espresso, maybe an Americano, something like that. Pour overs, those are all going to be vegan by nature. But adding milk and flavoring is something that kind of confuddles it a little bit if you're a vegan. And it's kind of hard to find vegan ingredients, especially in beef country. So I focused a lot on making sure that everything that goes into a cup is sourced locally or, you know, sustainably, and it's also vegan, usually gluten-free as well. So I use specific types of sugar in my syrups, specific types of milk. Specifically right now I'm using almond milk, and I look to expand to oat milk as well in the future.
Very cool. And in the future, you're also looking to provide some pastries, breakfast items?
Absolutely. So I'd really like to round out the coffee experience by offering pastries, hopefully some small plates in the future. We're working on the renovation of our kitchen right now, and we would love to be able to offer lunch fare to the downtown area because those are some limited options at the moment. Mm-hmm.
You got Subway just down the block from you.
They always have a line out the door.
Yeah, well, it is kind of sad. I mean, that block, obviously, and around the corner with Coney Island going out of business or calling it quits in that location. There is a real need for places to kind of gather and hang out for lunch, but also in the evening time. Do you see yourself being open after hours?
I would really love to. I would love to eventually expand to dinner as well and, you know, really focus on live events, having musicians or poetry, anything like that, just to kind of give people a collective space to gather in the evening, you know, relax, kick back, and just enjoy their evenings together.
Mm, for sure. Growing up in Sioux City, I remember going to a place called On the Java Coast, which was over just right by Morningside College, kind of next to Jerry's Pizza and Bush Cleaners out there. And there is an open mic night every Wednesday night at this coffee shop. And I remember at 13 or 14, my parents dropping me off to play music. And I feel like that kind of vibe would be really cool for that area, just kind of a safe spot for, you know, young artists and young people to kind of gather in the evening time.
Absolutely. We get a lot of creative types, especially at Jackson Street in the evening. And it's a lot of fun to go in there. I love to pop in and just see who's hanging out and see Sioux City locals and even Sioux City celebrities just, you know, gathering around what is actually a dinner table and just having a chat, having a beer, getting mm-hmm. along. It's really great.
Well, certainly that area is going to pick up with the Warrior Davidson project, some other projects going on in the area too, with the Commerce Building, and so talk a little bit about what you're, you know, what do you think about, you know, coffee and food and beverage in Siouxland moving forward?
I am really excited to see what happens with food and beverage in Sioux City. I think we're making great strides already. Places like the Diving Elk, you know, they're really pushing the envelope and getting people to try new things, and that's really something that I want to capitalize on, especially at Hardline. We've tried to feature new coffees from different areas, different roasters, in especially the Midwest, and just give people the opportunity to sample something they've never had before. And talking to local business owners, it's been a lot of fun learning about what they have in store, because it seems like things are really kind of bubbling under the surface at the moment, and they're ready to kind of explode.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we talk, you know, and I talk a lot with local, you know, food people and foodies and people in the music industry and working in the coffee shops as well. And it's this rising tide that we're looking for.
Absolutely.
And just kind of everyone kind of working together to provide better amenities to people living in Siouxland.
I'd agree. I think people are really noticing the change, and they're taking advantage of that and growing it within themselves. And it's become more of a, oh, I wish we were more like Omaha or Des Moines or, you know, even places like San Francisco. And it's become more of like, hey, we can make Sioux City more like that. We can be responsible and be really upstanding members of our community and do that for ourselves and create a better place for everyone.
Right. It's right. Great. I totally agree. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning of Hardline. I love doing this. I love kind of getting the ball rolling, and then let's go all the way back to the beginning. So tell us, how did Hardline get its start? How did you get started in coffee?
Well, my original start in coffee was when I was 16. I was a Starbucks barista, and I slung coffee for a while. I loved it. It was really what got me started with coffee, and I remember my first favorite drink being a white chocolate mocha with raspberry syrup in it, and that's the least coffee beverage you can possibly get, but it really kind of kickstarted something within me. So I spent a while doing that, and then I eventually moved on to more of a restaurant world setting where I managed at different restaurants and took a break, went to college, and thought I was going to be a doctor. I did not do that.
Medical doctor?
A medical doctor. And then I eventually switched to neuroscience, which is still something I'm very passionate about and would eventually like to pursue. But I graduated college and decided to take a step working with Stone Brew. So that was a good time. I worked there for about 6 months and then decided to step away and do my own thing and just kind of got a humble start. Started out at the farmer's market with a mobile unit, had a lot of fun there.
And that's kind of it's a big leap to kind of just say, I'm going to buy make my own mobile unit basically.
Absolutely.
And go down to the farmer's market.
Yeah, and as a high schooler, I was always really passionate about the restaurant industry and pastry. I was a pastry chef for a little while, and I always knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur and run my own business, but I just wasn't really sure in what context yet. So when this opportunity arose, it really just kind of clicked for me. I had been involved with coffee, involved with food for long enough that it really just made sense. So I took a leap of faith and decided to purchase an espresso machine, which, for those of you who don't know, they're about the price of a pretty nice car. Mm-hmm. But it paid off, and it was a fantastic place to get the first start, because if you don't know already, like the Sioux City Farmers Market community is incredible.
Yeah.
It's a very, very caring and close-knit community. And it's great to just be around local food sources. So it was fun to work down there for a while and kind of get the feel for the city and the community.
Definitely people that admire the hustle.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, you get out there at 5:30, 6:30 in the morning, and you see people just working their butts off, and it's freezing cold or sweltering hot, and they're there with a smile on their face every Wednesday and Saturday. It's
incredible. Yeah, and some of them have already driven an hour or, you know, or two to get there. So
yeah, and it's not uncommon to meet people who, you know, they rig up their own trailers so that they can keep their produce cool while they're traveling, and you know, they're just dedicated to it. It's amazing.
So you started with your favorite drink being a mocha and white chocolate mocha and raspberry. What's your favorite drink now? Like, what are you drinking now?
I've come a long way. So I do appreciate, on occasion, just a good latte, plain latte usually. I'll potentially do some lavender syrup in it every once in a while, but generally, day to day, when I go into the shop in the morning, the first thing I'm going to have is just a plain cup of coffee. I love pour overs. I love calibrating the espresso machine because I just get to sip on whatever I'm serving that day and start the day off right.
So for those who don't know what calibrating an espresso machine is, tell us about that process.
So it's the most, I would say probably the most important part of your day as a barista. You get into your shop and you want to ensure that what you're serving is going to be of the best quality you can possibly give to somebody. So you focus on making sure that your espresso is at the right grind level. You know, the machine needs to be brewing at the right temperature, which these days is pretty easy to accomplish with all the automated mumbo jumbo we've got. But I personally still have a machine that I pull all of my shots manually. I time them all, I weigh them all if I can, you know, if I'm not in a rush. And, you know, just focusing in on getting the right timing, the right, you know, consistency, the right flavor profile. It can be a little too sour or a little too bitter if you're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to learn that process and to just, you know, kind of get into the rhythm of it every single day.
Right. And in some, you know, some shops that are not as coffee forward, you know, what happens is that the dialing in or the calibration of the espresso doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're really just in that game of trying to mask some of those off flavors of the espresso with syrups.
Yes.
And so some of the great qualities of the espresso can just get lost. So as we talk about third wave coffee, is that what you would consider third wave coffee? Is someone that is dialing in the espresso and calibrating the espresso every morning, or what does it mean to you?
For me personally, third wave coffee really comes down to just having somebody that gives a lot of care into the process and, you know, developing that coffee, especially roasters in the area that they know exactly where they're sourcing their beans from. They've met their farmers. They've been to the farm that the coffee's from. Knowing from step one to step, you know, number however far in the process. Probably about step 10. You know where it's coming from. You know how it's being processed, how it was roasted, you know, how long it's been since it was roasted and how it's being prepared. And mm-hmm. then finally, when it goes into the cup, you get to communicate all that to the customer that's purchased it. It's a really intimate process. And I find that, you know, when you give people the opportunity to learn about it, they really, really enjoy it. And they love knowing exactly what they're getting from the process of roasting coffee.
Right. It's the further up and deeper in you get, the more enjoyable it becomes.
Absolutely.
With food and with wine and with beer. And so back to your shop, the actual brick and mortar. Now you're looking for a location. You pick your location. It was 611 Fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So 611 Fifth Street here in downtown Sioux City. So you pick your location. You did the drywall and the build out all yourself?
Yes. So the location was really ideal for us based on where we were positioned in Sioux City, as well as the fact that it was kind of a clean slate. There really wasn't a lot going on in the space when we got there. It needed some new flooring. It needed, you know, some walls touched up, drywall. We built the bar. We built the tables, the benches, the shelving, all that good stuff in there. And it's always a constant process. I'm still building tables. I'm still putting walls up. But it was really a unique opportunity to see the progress from start to finish. I've always grown up around carpentry and things like that. So I love getting to kind of curate my own space like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of curation, your opening, you've got some artists on display.
Absolutely.
Currently.
Yes. So we've been featuring Anna Hart and Jack Wise. Anna is a former graduate of Morningside College, and Jack is a current student about to graduate in the spring. Anna's a painter and graphic design artist, and Jack is a sculptor and potter. So we've got a lot going on in the shop. We've got paintings, we've got sculpture, we've got pottery, and it's a really unique mixture. They play together really well, and it's been fun to see people's reaction to that sort of thing. So I'm looking to probably filter and rotate out around 3 times, 4 times a year, just to kind of get people's attention on local art in the area, especially now that the Benson Building is no longer a space.
Yeah.
So just kind of letting people know that it's still out there. There's still a presence.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really sad about the Benson Building.
Absolutely.
But hopefully all those artists will come together and find another spot where we can have the Benson Burner-ish.
I hope so, yes.
Benson Burner-esque meetups. So your name, Hardline. I wanted to ask you, what is that? What does Hardline mean?
Hardline is, I think it's a little cheesy, but I love it. We draw a hard line on quality. And so one of our most important values and qualities about our business is that we really want to ensure that we're putting the best into people's cup. Mm. They know what they're getting out of the experience. And, you know, we're not trying to mask it with anything. So it's really about, you know, people getting exactly what they're paying for and just having a good experience in the shop. Mm. Just knowing that when they come there every time, it's going to be a reliable experience.
Okay, so Nisa, I come to your shop. What is the drink that I have to try?
Oh man, that's a great question. So I will say our most popular drink is by far the homemade vanilla latte. Since we make our syrups in-house, we've had a lot of attention on the syrups. But personally, I encourage people to just try the espresso. I think, you know, we try to source from different places. We do what I call a group head takeover. I stole that from Nick Top. He gave me that idea.
Just throwing
it out there. but
instead of a tap takeover, it's a group head takeover.
Exactly. Yeah. So a group head is where you brew the espresso on the espresso machine, for those that don't know. And it is kind of fun to just play around with different roasts and different origins from different roasters. So I've featured Amateur from Omaha as well as Katura here in Sioux City. And I'm looking to expand to Sioux Falls and Des Moines and, you know, Lincoln areas that I haven't featured yet. But I really love just having people come in the shop and see what's on the board for today and then just get a double shot of that and try it, you know. It really helps you develop your coffee tastes and your preferences, as well as just, you know, getting a feel for what people are capable of here. It's really cool.
I totally agree. We've got the Siouxland Coffee Festival that you were a big part of, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Stone Brew is a big part of as well. And but we got a huge coffee community already in Siouxland.
Yes.
And it was really evident that day when there's, I don't know, maybe 1,000 people that showed up. It was really surprising. There's already people that are roasting that I didn't know they were roasting. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I guess I would just urge folks listening today to get out to Hardline and go check it out and support a local business. It's at, you said 611 Fifth
Yes.
It's Fifth Street, right? Next to Jackson Street. I had a little too much coffee myself today. I'm a little fidgety, but yeah, vegan options, but also options for those that don't have any dietary restrictions.
Absolutely. Yes. We do offer whole milk as well for those who just love a good old fashioned latte. And most of our syrups and milks are also gluten-free. So people with celiac or other restrictions like that are also, they're suited pretty well at the shop.
Mm-hmm. What are your current hours right now?
Right now, we are operating from 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturdays.
Okay. Closed Sundays?
Closed on Sunday.
All right. Nice. A little day of rest.
Absolutely.
For those. Okay. So Hardline Coffee Company. I've been speaking with Nisa Salmon. Did I say that correctly?
Yes.
I apologize. It's a radio faux pas to not have that down. But Nisa, thank you so much for coming on the program. Hardline Coffee is down at 611 Fifth Street in downtown Sioux City. Get out and check out the espresso there and support a great local business. For Food for Thought here on Siouxland Public Media, my name is Adrian. Please tune in every Friday just a little bit after the news here for another installment. And if you have ideas for the show, please feel free to shoot them over to me at Adrian Colbo. That's ADRIANKOLBO@gmail.com. And we'll see you next week.